December 6, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
That's the funny thing, man. That's one of the mysteries. And to me, as soon as I put that on in my mouth, I could hear. I could feel it, you know. I just stopped. I just went into other things.
The reason I asked that was because, you recall, that was the time you had, around the time you had Eric in and out of the band.
Yeah.
And there was a whole wave of really hostile criticism.
Yeah, and sure this was at the same time. So you can see how it was. I needed all the strength I could have at that time.
And
maybe some of these things might have caused me to feel that, well, you know, I can't get what I want out of this mouthpiece, so I'll work on it.
Do you think then this might have undermined your self-confidence to a degree?
It could have. It certainly could have.
Show happy Monday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky, a little more about that mouthpiece, November 66. Then John Schuller with Thirsty Lawns. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I have a board with us. Brother John Schuller, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you so much, Mike Watt. Love
absolute,
it.
Absolute. And we got to give big credit to Brother Stevie Bono for the connect.
Oh, yeah. Love Stevie.
Yeah. So, let's examine your music journey. Please bring your earliest musical recollection memory.
I would say it's got to be when I was a little kid driving around in the parents' car listening to FM rock radio. And, there's some songs that really stick out and that's you know, things like Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult, Iron Man by Black Sabbath, and We Will Rock You by Queen. I think those were you know, probably my earliest recollections of music.
Wow. In the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
There were no musical instruments other than, you know, your standard, you know, dad's gigantic 1970s stereo system. Huge speakers, the turntable, you know, big amplifier, all of that. That would be the musical instrument of the house, but nothing with strings or anything you blow into or anything like that.
Yeah, like when Jeff was assembling all these options on what instrument, right? The fucking little wind-up trip. I guess you play the radio, you play the stereo, why not? You know, use your feet for dancing, drums, use your voice as the horn, and, you know, it's trippy. I'm just curious. I've had a lot of experimental people on the show in the last year, and a lot of them happen to be the younger sibling. So the older siblings have the instrument. So that's, you know, I'm just checking out. We all come from different places to get to where we are now. What about first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, man, that, so there's a, with my own money.
Yeah, because when you're a kid, I mean, you ain't got a lot of money, so, right, it's going to count.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, so, like, I definitely had my mom buy me, you know, all kinds of records as I was growing up. You know, buy me this, you know, buy me this Kiss record, buy me this AC/DC record. But by the time I was, you know, had my own money, by that point I was into, I started getting into punk rock. And I can remember the first day. You know, I went with my mom to I would just kind of tag along with her to work. She worked across the street from a Tower Records, and I would just go spend all day just looking at things in Tower Records. And the first my first $20 I had on my own, I chose wisely. I went for the punk rock 7-inches. Because you'd get the most songs you could get. In the 4 7-inches I bought, Black Flag's Nervous Breakdown, Dead Kennedys, California Uberalis, the Meat Puppets In a Car 7-inch, and then Minutemen's Paranoid Time. Because it just gave you so many songs.
SST right there.
Oh yeah, I got hooked on SST.
What I'm telling you, or probably you already know this, but the Nervous Breakdown is 001 and Paranoid Times 002.
Oh, yeah.
You got
those were
two fucking records. But you know, you could have got a lot even more songs if you would have got the SOA 7-inch.
I know, songs on that one. Yeah, see, they didn't have that one, but they were good.
Well, that's
that
Discord,
tower was
right?
Great. Yeah, that was Discord, but that tower was great with the SST.
But I'll tell you, it was funny for a long time, maybe not in your time, and Licorice Pizza did this shit, too. They would put punk stuff in the import bin, you know, imported all the way from Lawndale.
Yeah, imported from Lawndale.
Yeah, it's fucked up, but like, you know, some kind of ghetto trip.
Yeah.
You know, marginalized. This is why I've been on such a fucking warpath against genre and stuff. But you're right. Yeah. There was a lot of bang for buck for those records. And tried to make it that way. When the CDs came out, right, I tried to put as much Minutemen on a CD.
Oh, yeah.
Not just one title of CD, but, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, like those post-merch.
That's what I'm talking about. One,
crazy,
two, and three, right?
Yep.
Try to cram it all in. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
First gig you saw.
First gig I saw. So when I was 11, it was kind of the gig that changed my life. And I was 11, was a total heavy metal kid at the time. And my dad said, I'm taking you to see Ozzy Osbourne. So this would have been 1983. I saw Motley Crue open for Ozzy Osbourne. So it was like height of the early 80s, you know, stadium, heavy metal stadium stuff. And immediately I said, oh, this is what I want to do. I don't think he was too happy about me making that choice, but I said, this is what I want to do. And then after that, you know, I saw Deep Purple at a show, and then it was my first underground show I went and saw with my buddy Damon. We went and saw Soundgarden and St. Vitus.
At the time, they were both SST bands.
Yeah, exactly. Both, yep. And, Butthole Surfers was also on the bill, but, you know, we were like 14, and so my mom had to come pick us up early. So we missed something that would have been, you know, stellar. But seeing Soundgarden and St. Vitus and seeing those guys, you know, just kind of walk around the club was a huge difference from, like, going from a stadium show. It was all of a sudden, it was like, oh, these are regular people. They're right here, you know, and the energy was amazing, you know, being right there in front of the music. So I kind of consider that my first show, whereas Ozzy is kind of my first, stadium concert.
Yeah, I actually think punk movement was reaction against arena rock.
Yeah.
Because there was shit before that, right? There was a whole club scene and, you know, I helped the Stooges for 125 months, and they told me little labels, garage bands open. It just got rolled over by this Nuremberg rally shit in the 70s. Okay, yeah. What about school?
So school,
choir, the marching band, shit like that.
Yeah, none of that. I went. My first guitar, like, I think I was 13, like, right, like, I think it might have been my 13th birthday, and with that, no, like, formal training, but I got a guitar teacher. And when I first started to go see the guitar teacher, everything was, you know, I was all heavy metal kid, you know, so I was like bringing in, you know, show me how to play this AC/DC track or show me how to play this Black Sabbath song. And then, like, overnight, I started bringing bringing tapes of, you know, now I want to learn this Black Flag song, and I want to learn, I want to learn this Dead Kennedys song. And I think he was kind of thrown back, like, what is this music? He had no idea. But he was a good sport. He played along and showed me, he never showed me anything outside of, like, your power chords on guitar, but he showed me how to learn music by listening to records and, how to just kind of, you know, take a song like Nervous Breakdown and figure out where your fingers go on the neck and how to put it together. So, but no marching band or any kind of formal music training.
Yeah, well, you know, some schools don't even have programs, right? That's why Flea started his conservatory in Silver Lake. And I don't know if you ever pondered this, but fucking Lexicon Devil, Nervous Breakdown, same kind of intervals. You just play it.
Yeah,
one of them's da-na-na-na-na-na, and the other one's da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, yeah, see, now, and that was...
Well, and also with drum beats and a lot of bass guitar, you know, a lot of these motifs.
Yeah.
For example, if you want to write a novel, you're not going to invent one fucking word. It still could be an original novel.
All how you arrange it.
In fact, you start inventing words, it gets kind of hard to read. Finnegan's Wake. You gave me this electric candy lamp. Let's listen.
big elbow off the top rope. Body slam. Basket. Take the trophy home.
Out of your body, way out of your body.
Time. both cannot live alone. Forever bright, your love will take me far.
Show that chunk of music start out John Schuler, Electric Candyland. I wonder if Todd Kahn's Recess Records here in Pedro. He's got Underground Railroad to Candyland. That's one of his. It's trippy. He has all these bands that sound the same, but they got different names. SLWCC Watt after that. That's a collab with Sam Lockward and Iowa City. Big Elbow from our cassette EP. You want to know about a lot of songs, this right? Maybe 10-minute cassette EP. It's got 40 songs, okay?
Ah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's not just the old days. Thud, Game Over. That was Sam Lockward's idea. He scripted little things for me, and I mean little things, like one line, one word. Thud with Game Over, Arno Core, Arno Intro, Sabla from her new record, Crystals, Bean Ole, Forever Bright, Evil House Party off their new record, Head Held High. Here's a title, fuck. Hemodialysis de Pedialis Campground of the Incubus from James Twig Harper and Rubber O Cement. Finally, John Schuler, super density song. So what about the, besides the playing with your guitar teacher, and the mm-hmm. record player. What about the after school, not graduate, but afternoon?
Yeah.
Garage band, basement band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got.
Cellar band, garage band. Did you do this with buddies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about them. Yeah, did they even do gigs? Did you ever write songs in any? Or it was just for fun to play around? And
it was kind of a mix of all of that. So, around that same time, I was hanging with my good buddy Damon, and he had a guitar. I had a guitar. I would come home from, my guitar lesson and immediately just go, okay, I'm going to show you how to play this. And, we just started freshman year of high school, just jamming and, either playing songs that were by, our favorite artists or trying to write our own. I mean, he even constructed a cardboard box drum set so we could try to be our own band. We played a ton. We still play, today. We still jam together. And then right after high school started, playing with a band called Gigantum, with a couple of guys that are still really good friends. One guy in that band I still play music with all the time. And, that was kind of our psychedelic grunge punk, heavy metal, prog rock, mishmash thing. And that was all songs that we wrote. We did a Country Joe and the Fish cover, but it was all, songs we wrote and just started playing whatever basement party we could, whatever.
Did this band have a name?
Gigantum.
And what was the first Gigantum gig you did?
The first Gigantum gig we did was a basement party in Tacoma, Washington, we played with a band called My Name, another band called Smelter that were really great. And, it was great because we didn't know any of the kids there, and they just loved what we were doing, and it just kind of immediately we felt like, oh, there's a scene here. This is what it means, you know, what a scene means. You know, it's these other bands and other friends that we just start playing gigs with those guys.
Did you live near Tacoma?
Yeah, I lived in Gig Harbor, right over the bridge.
Yeah, it was all part of the sound. Big fucking...
Yeah.
In fact, listeners, you should realize back in the older days, Tacoma was bigger than Seattle. Spokane was bigger than both of them.
Yeah, Spokane's huge. And Tacoma, I just got to bring this up, Mike, because this is, you know, earlier I talked about, like, man, it was so cool to, you know, see, like, the guys in Soundgarden and St. Vitus just walking around the club. My buddy Damon and I, we went and saw, and I told you this before, maybe 10 years ago, but we went and saw Firehose on the Haircut Tour in 87, playing afternoon show at Community World Theater.
That tour wasn't just us. Yeah. It was also Slovenly, which had Tom Watson, who's in my
Yeah.
And across the street from that World Theater was a gas station. This guy had like 8 or 9 little T-Birds, the old small ones from the 50s.
Right, yeah. Do you remember that? Now it's a Harley shop.
Is that right? I mean, we're talking like late 80s. Right?
Yeah, late 80s. And what was cool was me and Damon, we saw the Firehose van, and we saw you walk out of the club. It was before the show. You walked into the van, and we were like, we should go talk to that guy. Like, that's Mike Watt. We should go talk to him. And, man, you were so cool. You chatted with us for, like, an hour telling us, you know, all kinds of Minutemen stories and, you know, what life as a musician is like. You were telling us to listen to John Coltrane. You know, we were, like, 14-year-old kids, and we were like, man, that is, you know, it just made the whole music thing just so much more real and meaningful. So
yeah, I'll tell you somebody cool in Tacoma, Rick King at Guitar Maniacs.
Oh, dude, I love Guitar Maniacs.
The fucking the jazz master Nels Klein plays Jay Mass's Got from Rick King, and then to me, to Nels, yeah, trippy. That's 58 or 59, and I did get a Longhorn Moss. You know, what are they, Masonite, Dan Electro?
Oh, yeah.
It just folded up on itself. But that's because the way they're made, you know. Yeah, the string tips are just buckle up. It's like counter tips. Okay, so you weren't really on a tour then. You just, it was nearby from Gig Harbor, and hey, there's this party. Because I was wondering, like, who sets off on a tour for their first gig?
Oh, yeah. Some there was no, do, yeah, some that was, yeah, we just, yeah, we didn't,
but
we didn't
would you
do
consider that.
That
gig, John, a success?
Oh, yeah.
Like that, they didn't that throw shit or what happened? What happened?
Well, we played,
was this just,
I mean,
you?
It was,
this was a whole band. This wasn't just the cardboard box unit, right?
Yeah, this isn't the card. Yeah, this is post cardboard box. We got real, you know, drum sets and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, what is it? Quartet?
It was a 5-piece at the time. 2 guitars. I played guitar at the time. I later switched to bass in that band. And that was where I, you know, when I started playing bass, and then, you know, since then kind of switching back and forth.
Yeah.
But it was a 5-piece, 2 guitars.
Since you
bass,
got experience with
drums.
Both those strings instruments, can I ask you an opinion about something?
Yeah.
Okay. 6-string guitar?
Yeah, 6-string guitar.
Okay. 4-string bass?
I love 4-string bass.
Is 4-string bass a 4-string guitar? Or, and this is my big question to you, 4-string drum set?
Ooh.
Yeah, this is my Watts understanding as I get further down the road with this. It's not about 5 strings. It's not about 6-string. It's about 4-string drum set.
Yeah,
really,
I would say it's somewhere in between. It's like a hybrid, right?
Well, where are all the notes?
Yeah, the notes.
Some of them are in the toms, but come on, they're not in the cymbals. They're not in the fucking snare.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it
looks like a guitar, and it has strings to get its sounds.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, my experience, and that's why I put that question to you. Everybody's got their own opinion. There's no right or wrong. Remember, it's Watford Pedro Show.
Oh, yeah.
No hard questions, no wrong answers. So, how long did this band end up recording?
We did, and it was total, you know, DIY style. We recorded.
Why, John? Didn't you send me any?
Well, that, you know, I got to dig that shit out.
Okay, That's good reason.
I got to dig that music out, but I'll get you some of that.
By the time you guys recorded, had you switched to bass or the recordings where you were on guitar? Okay.
Yeah, there's some recordings where I played guitar, but when we actually sat down
and said,
you
saw Slovenly. I did see Slovenly. Yeah, but like the first version of Peru, no one really wanted to rock the bass, so they would switch back and forth.
At
the gig and shit. Yeah, Brainiacs did that too. I seen a couple bands do that where the guys, people would switch. And usually it was a guitar and a bass switching. I was just reading about John Coltrane and the Cleanhead Vincent. They threw the fucking alto saxes at each other. Fishbone used to have some.
I love that showmanship. The horns flying.
Yeah, a little bit of showbiz, right?
Yeah.
What they say in vaudeville, work the room. No more. The only more fucking down-home philosophy music-wise for me is the other four-word thing, the Stooges, right, came to play. We're at the end of the first hour, December 6, 2021 edition, Watt Pedro Show, special guest John Schuler, hold tight for hour two.
Oh, yeah.
December 4, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
any fucking business. Come on, I'm just trying to be friendly. All right, it's called West Palm Beach.
Walk for Pedro show start at the second hour with Action Friend doing Demon Skull. Springtime after that, something live called West Palm Beach. And the drummer man in this band is Jim White from Dirty Three. Incredible cat. An incredible drummer man. And really hairy back. No Motive after that with Entitled Bogor with Heed and Swing. You're going to have to enlighten me to Bogor. Action Friend. I mean, what do you do after school, after high school graduating? Do you go to higher music education?
Well, nah, my higher music education, I mean, I would...
I have all kinds of people on the show, John, and that's why I ask that. Some people, you know, of course, there's autodidacts, you know, that's where Boone, I mean, some guys helped us like that teacher helped you, but you ask because it's just trippy.
Yeah, I just kind of kept playing music, playing guitar, you know, playing with, you know, and like you mentioned, Bogor or Bogor, we still don't know how to pronounce it yet. One of the guitarists in that band is the guitarist from Gigantum. So it all, you know, and that's my latest, thing I've been working on. So it's like, you know, full circle, but after school, you know, it was kind of through my 20s and 30s, playing in bands, you know, playing shows, and in my early 30s, started recording music and saying, oh, this, you know, I'm just going to record it and put it out, you know, press up, some CDs. But on the schooling side, you know, I would just, you know, on occasion, find musicians, that I liked and say, hey, can I take some lessons, you know, for, when I moved, to Los Angeles back, in 2006 from, living up in Seattle, I got tired of the rain and said, moving down to LA with the band, the Youngs, with Tim Young, who, you know, and Aaron.
And there's a stage, I think it used to be called Fuzzy Land, then it was Mr. T's Bowl, and now...
Yeah, Mr. T's Bowl.
Now I think it's a bowling alley again, in Highland Park.
Yeah, it's like a super hip bowling alley, but yeah, we did that, the Youngs and the Missing Men.
From Cleveland,
and,
who moved to the Monster Bay Area.
Monster Cockrell.
Mike, yeah, Monster Cockrell. They had Calvin
on
the fucking drums, Calvin Weston.
Yeah, that was...
Beautiful
that
man.
Was fun.
One time, Minutemen got to play with James Blood Almer. And Calvin
Holy
Weston
shit.
Was like a teenager, just jumped on George Hurley's drum set without adjusting one fucking thing and just wailed on it. Same
oh,
with
man.
Blood. Blood didn't even touch D. Boone's dials on his amp, just played.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, see, that's some, like, next-level shit, man. I love
and
watching.
And Amin Ali was on the bass, and I heard a Philly guy, he quit. In fact, Stevie Bono knows about him. He quit music altogether. It's over. And this guy was incredible. His daddy was Rashid Ali, the drummer man, recorded with John Coltrane.
Oh, man. But just quit playing music altogether, though.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You know, some people, Arthur Rimbaud, right, wrote poems only a couple of years. Elvin Jones, he had the oxygen tanks on the stage. Some people have to play till everyone's different. That's why I ask these kind of questions. I'm trying to get people on board, you know, because you might think there's only a couple ways to do this. There's buttloads.
Exactly.
So you say that Bogor, and share members
Bogor,
with
Bogor.
Gigantum.
Yeah.
So it has he must have moved down here also, or do you trade files over the internet?
Yeah, so that record, the Bogor, whatever we're gonna call it, that record, is actually that band for the most part is the same band as the Master Musicians of Bukkake, which I sent you a track by.
You're gonna hear it at the beginning of the third hour.
All right, yeah.
I didn't know the chronology, John.
Yeah.
So I kind of put them in an order of how long they were.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I like that kind of context.
I didn't know the exact what band came before what band. You can kind of tell because the style, and the techniques, you can tell, but you never know. And my pop, he said that word was not spelled that way by accident. He thought the most magic word in the English language was assume. Because when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
I love that word. And that saying.
He gave me the Youngs. Speaking of the Youngs, what a great Sugui. Let's listen.
Why don't you shut your mouth and walk away? Go far away.
Watch for Pedro Show. That Chunky Music started with the Youngs. Nathosomia. Then
yeah.
My Daddy Ate My Eyes with G is for Gallifrey, which I think is where the Time Lords are from and Doctor Who or some shit. Clank Quartet, Scotty Irvin, live at the International Noise Conference, February 6, 2020, part 2 of 2. Finally, Earth with Railroad, The Felon Win. You played with the Earth guys.
Yeah, played that. That was kind of an extension off of the Master Musicians of Bukkake thing. I had recorded a record and said, well, I guess I need to do a record release show. I think that's what you're supposed to do. And so we put the Master Musicians of Bukkake together. And then I said, well, I heard this guy Dylan Carlson from Earth is playing music again. He had been kind of off the radar for a number of years. And a friend of mine said, well, he works at a picture frame shop downtown Seattle. And I said, well, I used to do picture framing. I'm just going to walk in and just see if I can, you know, find Dylan and see if he wants to play a show. And so he, super friendly guy, was just super excited. I mean, I loved, you know, just still in my top 10 albums of all time is the Earth 2 Special Low Frequency album.
Yeah.
And it just said, hey, I heard you're playing again. Do you want to do a show? And he just said, yeah, I'll play a show. So the first Earth show after his hiatus was with us at this place called the Rebar in Seattle, and kind of struck up a, you know, a bit of a friendship. And he started working on making the first Earth album after the hiatus, and just said, hey, do you want to play some bass on it? And I said, indeed. yeah, absolutely.
You weren't here for that. I wasn't in town, but they played Pedro.
Did they? Was that just, that was like last week, right?
I don't know when it was. The Browery, the old warehouse converted over to a brewery.
Okay.
Long Beach people, yeah. It's a small world.
Okay.
Look, about that gig with the fucking Monster Cock Rat, do you recall them? Those,
oh, yeah.
Cleveland guys rented a car, and what happened was, it was a hatchback, and they didn't have that base cabinet all the way in, and when they fucking closed that hatchback, yeah, like
the window,
throwing
the
elbow.
Window,
yeah, that's right. It got knocked right out. I mean, it's not funny. I was very sad for him. And it was a freezing ride. They had to go back up. I was fucked up.
Oh man,
but that's really bitching if you help get a man back making music again.
You know, it was. Yeah, it was just you know, and you know, it was one of those things where it's like, man, this guy is a musical hero to me. And I know he's gone through, you know, a lot of shit, you know, with, you know, drugs and the Kurt Cobain thing and, you know, just all that stuff. And, yeah, as soon as I heard he was playing, I was like, okay, I got to find this guy. 'Cause you know, I don't know what he's up to. You know, I don't want him to just kind of slip away back into nothing. So, you know, or just not playing music or whatever. So it was, you know, it meant a lot. And he, you know, I love that that they're still going and just going strong.
Is Young still going?
They kind of are, you know, it's weird because, so I, you know, all of us, we moved from Seattle down to LA 15, 16 years ago, all moved into the same house. They had a kid, Tim and Aaron had a kid, Levon, about a little over 7 years, well, seven, so 7 years ago. But we kept playing all the way up until, you know, like Aaron was pregnant, and, shortly before, Levon was born, they kind of narrowed the band back down to a two-piece for a while, which was how they started, and Tim, would play the bass pedals with his foot, you know, like, so he'd play bass with his feet and guitar, you know, and it makes for a really fun show. And Aaron's playing drums and samples and singing. And, Tim, you know, he's on, he's playing guitar on the Late Late Show with, James Corden now. Aaron put out a solo album last year that's amazing.
So they're still making music, just not as much as
oh,
the
yeah.
Youngs. Okay.
Yeah, not
that's
as much
enough, because
on
they can
the
fucking
band
play their asses off, and I was just curious.
Oh, yeah.
Look, we're
exactly
at the end of the second
they're
hour, December 6, 2021. This is Watt Pedro's special guest, John Schuller. Hold tight for hour 3. December 6th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show. you know, that big, there was a big hit in the 60s, right? I think it's called I Look at the Stars So the Tears Won't Fall Down My Face or something. And for the U.S. market, oh, no, let's call it Sukiyaki. You know, all right.
Ah.
That cat, he was killed in a 747 crash or something. But his cousin was Karu Abe, the avant-garde sax man.
Oh, so wow.
Music is music. That's why I had to laugh when you were naming off all those genres, what kind of kid you were. All that burden, all that weight of those things
carried
around your neck.
It was great when I could let that go and go, it's all music.
Yeah. Shit, hold on. We'll start off the third hour with Axis of Evil from Master Musicians of Bukkake. Having a lot of fun about with that stuff, people off air, but you don't get privileged. This gentle heart, like shot birds falling from the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra and Tra-La-La Band. Then Scotch Rolex featuring Lord Spikeheart, Sniper. This is Brother Shige, lives in Berlin, but he traveled to Uganda to make some collabs with some musicians there. And finally, Nostromo with Flag. Nostromo. Is this your Italian band?
I guess, you know, in some ways, that was Nostromo is Tim Young on guitar, a guy named Scroat on guitar, and I played bass on that, and then Dylan Ryan on drums. I don't know if you know Dylan Ryan, but he's a great, great drummer, cool guy. And that was just something where we just said, hey, let's make a record, and let's just do it in a day. And so we did that twice. We made the first half of it in one day, the second half in another day, and then, you know, just would
prepared material, improvised, right?
Yeah. We would just kind of it would either be improvised, or we'd say, hey, here's the first riff. Okay, everybody know the first riff? All right, now let's do the next riff. Okay, this is what it is. So they were quickly composed, if composed.
Okay. And the Master Musicians of Bukkake.
Yeah, so Master Musicians of Bukkake, that was a band that started, I want to say, around 2002. And it was really, in a lot of ways, it was a band, but it was also a gang. You know, like, not a gang as in, like, hey, we're going to go.
If you read Jack Grisham's book, you know, the TSOL singer, man.
TSOL.
Okay, before they were a band, right, TSOL, they were something called Vicious Circle, and it was, I think they ended up maybe doing some music, but mainly it was for fighting and shit.
Yeah, we weren't so much on the fighting as much as just goofing off and just fucking around, you know, like, Trey Spruance told us once, he said, it's like half of you guys are really serious, and then the other half are totally fucking around. And then I was basically like, no, we're just really serious about fucking around. And so that band had a really loose membership. There was maybe six of us, you know, that were always there, but we would do a lot of collaboration with some of the guys from Sun City Girls. Like Alan Bishop and Rick Bishop and Charlie Gaucher.
Oh, but we lost one of them.
Yeah, we lost Charlie, yeah. And, but yeah, those guys, you know, Sun City Girls were like total mentors to us. You know, we basically were just like, we want to be like those guys when we grow up. You know, we were already grown up, so that it was just more, you know, just kind of make-believe fun. And, you know, that band was all about, really trying to create, you know, like if we could imagine what an ethnic music or a regional music would sound like from a country that does not exist on the face of the earth, what would it sound like? So it was all just kind of a lot of improv, a lot of make believe, but with a vision, you know, like we want this to sound like if you stumbled upon some ancient ritual that you probably shouldn't stumble upon, that kind of thing.
There's a fake country, one of those Marx Brother movies, Fredonia.
Ah,
and there's a song, like an anthem, and they sing, what is it, duck, horse feathers, or duck soup.
Oh, man, I'm going to go look
it's
that
one,
up.
It's one of the animal crackers, one of these movies in the 30s where there's a, I think the boss is Groucho and Fredonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, see, that was our approach, was like, you know, let's, you know, I love listening to, you know, some Turkish rock music or some gamelan music or something like that. But, you know, none of us were trained in any of that. So we're like, well, let's just make up our own. You know, what would it sound like? And it made for a lot of fun. And then with that name, that, you know, just made us a little notorious.
Well, you know, Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. You know, the Boris guys with the bell bottoms, you know. I remember asking at Suosan, you know, what is this? You know, everything here is important. And I said, oh, okay.
Yep.
Look, here's another project. ASVA. Is it might be in a fucking acronym, right? Let's listen.
Well,
for Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. Off air, I was enlightened to the fact this is not an acronym, and we'll know the eternal truth as soon as I get done telling you these three song titles. By the Well of Living and Seeing, Asma, although I don't know this word. And then Just Joy, I think that's pronoun, family name. This is The String. And then we're back to the ongoing, actually, the most recent up-to-date ongoing concern, John Schuler, Bogor, or Bogor, or whatever they want to call it. They're not even sure, right? I mean, where'd the fucking name come from?
So that project, we were at the beginning of the pandemic. Jim Davis, guitarist in Gigantum and master musicians of Bukkake, and yeah, I've played with that guy forever. He's you know, one of my brothers. At the beginning of the pandemic, he said, "You know what? We're going to make a record," and so we just did it completely remotely. All of my guitar tracks recorded in my bedroom here in Los Angeles. Jim's guitar tracks recorded in Seattle. Brad's vocals recorded in Seattle, and then Don McGreevy's drums all recorded. Some of them even just on his cell phone in Buffalo, New York. And then we put it all together and mixed it. Now we're trying to figure out what to do with it. The band name, we were just doing that stupid back and forth. Ah, we should call it this. We should call it that. And Don McGreevy in the band just kept saying, "What about bog ore?" And, you know, like the ore in a bog. And all of us just kept going, why do you keep going on with this bog ore thing?
Bog is a slang in England for the head.
Ah, okay. So you know that? Now we can.
They call it the loo or WC. They have strange words.
I gotta
words.
Go hit
all this euphemism shit, right? The washroom. Yeah. Well, one of them is bog, and that's probably more accurate than fucking washroom or bathroom.
Yeah, right? What, yeah, it's a
very
fucking,
tiny little white bathtub, right? Now, hip us to John. Hip us to asthma.
Yeah, so ASVA was something, again, a lot of the same musicians, you know, playing in different bands again. ASVA was a band with a guy named Stuart Dahlquist, who played in Sun, and he played in Burning Witch, and a band called The Hungry Crocodiles for a while out of Seattle. And then Brad Mallon, who's a singer for a band called Sweaty Nipples way back in the day.
Yeah,
and then he played in the Accused, and now he's in Cryptic Slaughter. Great. And he sings in Bogor, but he played drums in ASVA. And then Trey Spruance from Mr. Bungle and Secret Chiefs on guitar. I played guitar. Troy Swanson on. What's that?
Does he wear the hood?
Not in that. In that band, he wore a Civil War
Secret
Chiefs,
uniform. He wears a little fucking pointy hood.
Yeah, he's got a little
people,
hat.
That ain't a Klansman hood.
No,
he's
definitely,
it's not that.
He's definitely Black Magic.
He's not into that shit. But yeah, it is a funny outfit. So that costume is specific. And the man can play all those cats in that fucking band. Trevor Dunn, what a fucking bass man.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're almost out of time here. So is there a place people can find you on the internet?
They can. It's pretty basically, I'm just on Instagram, and that's about it.
Okay,
but they can.
You're a corporate website. Okay.
Yeah, no corporate website. Not yet, man.
No, you are on one.
Am I?
Yeah, they belong to Fake Look.
No, that is my, you're right. That is my.
But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. So look for him. John Schuler, S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R, people. Big honor to have you aboard. When you get your bog gore all finished and stuff, let's have everybody on a conference Skype call using corporate Skype VoIP stuff to share your musical journeys with Watt.
Hell yeah.
Okay, thank you, John. Keep it on, brother.
All right.
People, it's been December 6, 2021, and just watch Peter's keep your powder dry.